Arrived.
And it is my great pleasure to welcome Eileen Day, author of Touching
the World Through Reiki.
And she has is the founder and director of the only state-certified vocational school of Reiki in Washington State, has taught over 1,000 students in 20 countries, and we are delighted to welcome her here to Many Rivers tonight. Thank you so much for coming.
So I always like to start out and find out what brings you here. Have you had experience with Reiki before? And so if you can just go around, introduce yourself, and then also kind of what are you needing tonight? And that kind of gives me an idea of which way to go with my talk. I'll talk about my book. I'll talk about my work. I'll talk about what I've done. But I also like to address everybody who comes to the different talks I do. So how about if I start in the back?
What brings me here? Many Rivers. And I love this place. And I have had experience with Reiki. I have a background in energy work, so I did have some training and I have experienced it. So I just love the energy.
Love the energy of it. Yeah. Are you needing anything particular tonight?
Let's see. Just Reiki energy would be great. So I'm sure that...
Okay, yeah. We'll bring that on.
I work here and I heard a lot about Reiki. I don't really understand what it is.
Okay.
I only hear good things about it. I'm looking forward to learning more.
Learning more.
I'm Stuart, and I'm one of the founders of the store. And my experience with Reiki is through my mother, who is has been a Reiki practitioner. And if I am needing anything this evening, it's for her to have a good time.
Awesome. Cool. How about on this side?
Oh, I'm Mimi Hirschquist. I love Many Rivers. And I've been a Reiki practitioner since 1996. And I'm also a kindergarten teacher, so
they love it.
They love my Reiki hands.
Oh, wonderful. Cool.
I'm here mostly to learn. I know next to nothing.
Okay.
I probably learned more from the last 5 minutes about Reiki than I knew before. So I'm here just to learn.
Sure. Great.
Well, I'm second degree Reiki, and I haven't really used this for 2 years since I left Arizona, where I was attuned. So what I want tonight is to just reawaken the interest and start doing this again.
Nice. Coming back into
it. Coming back into it, yes.
And I'm one of those that doesn't know about Reiki, except I keep hearing about it, and I want to know what it is. So I'm really at the very basic level, like a couple other people here.
Okay.
I'm here to participate in the group energy, both ways.
Awesome. Very good.
I had a Reiki treatment many years ago, but I don't remember too much about it, so I'd just like to hear more about it again.
Okay.
I'm just following my inner guidance. So it brings me here a lot.
Thanks.
This energy healing, I think, is what it's about.
I heard about Reiki for many, many years, but like Amba, it's not clear to me exactly what it is.
What it is, what it does. Sure. Are you needing anything tonight?
No,
okay.
I can think of.
Okay.
I'm your driver.
Are you needing anything tonight? Some support for the drive? Okay.
I'm a nurse and also a Reiki practitioner trained by Eileen, and I have been able to utilize that together integratively in not only my nursing practice, but also with the Reiki practice as well.
Great, awesome. And so I like to stand and sit and move around. So it's me, that's what I do. So I've been working with Reiki over the last 15 years now. So you're saying 96? Yeah, somewhere around there is when I really started getting into it. Because my background, I'm a licensed mental health counselor, and I've always been a social worker. And so as I started to work with people as a mental health professional, I started to feel their energy, and I was really curious about it. And I'm originally from New Jersey, and once in a while you'll hear some of that talk come out, but I've lived in Seattle 12 years, and the West has a wonderful way of kind of mellowing out any dialect, you know. But back then, when I was working as a social worker, it was sort of unheard of to go and explore energy work, and I really felt called, and I trusted my inner guidance for that, and it led me to Reiki, which, again, back then, before the internet, before everything, it was like this, what is this thing? What is it? So what is Reiki? And my teacher told me that, and what I'll tell you, is that Reiki, when you talk about it, is a Japanese word, and it's these symbols here. It means Rei, universal, so everything that is all around, the one, right, that connects us. Ki, energy, but that's Japanese. And Ki is the same as Chi, prana. So Reiki is... it's both a concept and it's a phenomena that exists, yes, in Japan, but in China, in India, in our country, in the ancient world of Greece. They called the five elements, and so it's like, you know, earth, fire, water, air, and the fifth was ether. They were talking about Reiki. But what happened in our Western world is somewhere along the line, probably Cartesian dualism, we had that split, and working with energy got really marginalized, and that's why so many of us have turned to other cultures and other philosophies to kind of reconnect with this. So my own process, I ended up coming to Reiki not knowing really anything about energy work, knowing something about Eastern philosophy, so it wasn't totally foreign. And it's really, it's so simple as a method of working with it, yet the effects of it, for those of you who've worked with it, know is so profound. I saw that when I first started working with it with clients, I have my client Joe there, and he'd come in and we would do our traditional talk therapy. So Joe, what brings you here, you know? And he'd tell me, and he'd be all up in his head. And when I started to offer Reiki, and we can do it, we'll do it here tonight, through touch, as well as a phrase I call holding space, which is just letting that energy permeate the session. When I started to do that in the session, Joe no longer was in his head. He started to come into his whole being. So when you work with something like ki, energy that's all around you, it allows you to come fully into like your body and your mind. It integrates really well. So as a counselor in practice, that was wonderful. I also found that by practicing Reiki, I was not picking up as much of my clients' complaints. And those of you that do body work, or you've talked to body workers, like massage therapists, will often say, oh yeah, I'm working on this person, and wow, I'm like taking in all their pain or their sorrow. Reiki offers a certain level of, I want to say, protection or energetic support, so that when you work with another individual, you're not taking on that stuff. And that radically changed the way that I did my counseling after that. And I knew at that time it was such a powerful tool, and yet so simple. I wanted to teach it, because I think I've always been a teacher. Maybe my parents can attest to that. They remember me as a child pulling my neighbor friends in, and I was like teaching something. I don't know. I was always like, I got to show you this. So Reiki was something I always wanted to show people, and especially my clients. Because they felt better after the session. Not just talking about stuff, but they felt stuff. So 15 years ago, I started teaching on the East Coast. And when you work with a practice like Reiki, like any spiritual practice, it strengthens your intuition. And so I started to come into this place of really trusting myself, trusting my gut. And one day in meditation, I had this image of the Olympic Mountains with Puget Sound. I mean, it just was like, and I'm sitting there literally in the middle of Manhattan with this image of Seattle. It was like neon lights, like, go to Seattle, go west, young woman. I'm like, wow, you know, I thought this only happens to, I don't know, I mean, I've only practiced Reiki a little bit, what's going on, you know? So I had to trust that intuition, and I set out on my journey westward 12 years ago, but not just showing up to Seattle and like, let's see what happens. I'm not that. I need a little bit of a grounding. So I ended up working for Boeing, of all places, as a counselor for the first year. And it was there, in that office, that began the whole creation of my Reiki school. Because, again, I started to integrate it into sessions. People are like, I want to learn this. Can I learn this from you? I'm like, well, not really ethically. I don't think Boeing would be too appreciative. So I started to create a school structure, and I realized there was no standard for Reiki training. I think some of you have had Reiki training in the past because it was longer distant, it probably had more of the flavor of Usui training, which was you'd have this workshop, you'd learn it, you'd practice it, and you'd take your time between levels. What I was finding in Seattle and the whole Puget Sound was some people were learning Reiki and they were learning like everything about it in a weekend. Here you are, boom, you're a Reiki master. And I started to meet some of these people, and I'm like, well, I went through a whole apprenticeship process. Why can't there be that? So my combination of being at Boeing, having clients, wanting to learn training, finding about school structures, I started to craft this Reiki school. And in the process, I crafted the job that I really wanted moving to Seattle, not working for Boeing. Nothing against the company, but, well, maybe something's against the company. I knew what I really wanted to do. And so for the last 10 years, a little bit more now, I've been training students from all over the world. And then I've graduated many Reiki masters, and they've gone out into the world, and they're doing all kinds of things. And I want to talk a little bit about some of that. We work with veterans. We really felt called to begin working with veterans about 5 years ago. So we offer Reiki sessions to them to help them with their PTSD, and they get a lot of relief. What I found as a counselor is that Reiki practice helps with anxiety and depression and really allows your body and your mind to relax, again, connecting you to your whole body and mind so that you can come into a place of healing and wholeness. So the veterans work is really powerful, and that's come about by having more teachers to do it. And then another outreach that I'm really proud of, and this is my scrapbook book that I bring with me on all my book tours now since my book came out last year, is our group has been going down to a very polluted river in Seattle that was polluted a lot by Boeing, so that's where my little animosity is towards them. But we just started going down to the river, and it's Seattle, so it's pretty cool, it's pretty chill to go down to the river and hold your hands out and direct universal energy. And you'll find as we work tonight, the real importance in working with energy is not to attach an outcome to it. Because people think like energy healing or any kind of body work healing, the practitioner is going to fix you, right? Or going to have a result. Reiki is really profound in that way. You create a space by your own vessel, by your own channel, for that universal energy to come through. And because it's greater than you, you can't really predict the result. But the only thing I can predict, and tonight you'll be judges for yourself, is that Reiki will bring you to a certain state of relaxation. You'll probably feel more clear and calm after leaving here. And of course, yes, this store is wonderful and it's healing and it's got a lot of great energy in it. But we're going to amp it up tonight with a lot of Reiki. So we brought all this to that river with the same principles, and we just kind of watched at what would happen. You know, with the actual molecules of the water change. Well, what started to happen initially was after our blessing, Boeing announced a press release that they were giving millions of dollars towards restoration to the river. So it's really another interesting piece. I talk about this in my book, like the five tools of walking the Reiki path, paying attention to serendipity and coincidences. Think about it. As you align to something that's greater than yourself, it's like you're tapping into that vibration, that channel. And it puts you in touch with something that's greater than you. I don't get Reiki isn't a religion, so I don't say Reiki is God, but it's something that's definitely greater than you. It's an incredible force. And so when you bring it with intention, which is another key that I talk about, intention is so powerful, and you let go of any expectation to result, a phrase I use a lot is, be prepared to be surprised. You never know what's going to happen. So bringing the blessing to the river, watching what happened, and as we went on, month after month, we did these blessings for 6 months, and we're going to do them again in the summer, because in the winter it's a little hard to motivate people to go stand out in the rain. We have our parkas, and we have our fleece, and we've got all that, but doing healing work in the rain is another thing, you know. It's not bad, but in the summer we'll start up again. Each time we did these blessings, wildlife started to come. We started to see salmon in a polluted river. We started to see river otter. We started to see ospreys. It was really amazing to just start to see, by coming with healing intention, 30 people projecting healing energy at the river, what would begin to occur. So the practice of Reiki is an interesting journey. You can, what we'll do tonight is we'll work on ourselves, we'll work on each other, so we can apply it that way for relaxation, for healing, but you can take it out of that realm. Work with other populations. You can take it to the river. And another tool I think is really important is the work we'll do here tonight, and that is, you have such a great community here, connect with others who want to do this work. It was really my Reiki learning. I learned Reiki in workshops and so forth, but the real learning came in my practice with everybody else. And every time I practiced, I learned something over time. So that's just my intro of Reiki, a little bit about it. But what is it? Well, I think the best way to describe what it is to just, do an exercise, a chi exercise. So we're going to use our hands, and the reason we use our hands, those of you familiar with the concept of chakras, energy centers, we have them on our palms, we have them throughout our whole being as well. Our palms tend to be pretty sensitive. So we're just going to notice what we notice and not have any expectations. We're just going to try it and see. So if we just take a moment, settle into our chairs, relax our breath. And begin to just scan our own awareness all the way down and through to the tips of our toes. Noticing what we notice. This is another point I like to talk about, to be curious. How does your body and your mind feel now at the end of the day? Is it tired? Is a couple areas a little tight? Does it feel pretty good? Just giving space for all that's there. Bringing your breath into those areas, maybe of tension. Just acknowledging what the state is. Then, imagine your own connection to that concept of universal energy, that which is greater than you, the source that flows through all things. Maybe it's a line all the way up into the cosmos. Maybe it's a tube. Maybe it's just an awareness. And feeling that flow all the way down and through your body from head to toe, just being like a pipeline into that flow. And letting that energy, whether you feel it or not, just giving the intention to come down through your arms, through your hands, and take those palms and just put them a couple inches apart. And take your breath and just breathe into that space. You can open your eyes, you can close your eyes. Not forcing anything, just being. Another phrase I use is honoring the pause, slowing down. Giving space. And then taking your hands and moving them out about a foot. Again, taking a nice breath into the space between the hands. Not flowing. We're just observing that natural universal chi, ki, prana that flows through us all the time. But we're taking a moment here to specifically focus in. And then at your own pace, bringing those hands closer together again, a couple inches apart. And noticing now, is there a change in the quality, or do you perceive it differently? Or it's just a nice exercise? Whatever's going on. Got a few more moments. Yeah. And then shake out your hands. So for those who haven't done energy work before, what's that like for you? How do you experience that? How would you describe it? What kind of qualities? What would you say?
It seemed, especially when I, the first time they were just like 2 inches away, I didn't really feel much.
Right.
And then when I brought it out, it seemed to solidify. But then when I brought them back together, it felt really like, almost like I was holding on to bread dough or something. It felt really solid, heavier.
Cool. Neat. Like, whoa, what's that? That's chi. That's ki. Other qualities, other experiences that you would describe? Anybody else?
Tingling.
Warmth. Yeah. Anyone experience nothing? It's just like, well, that was interesting. Not really sure. What's that? No. So when you talk about chi or ki or prana, it has the qualities of what you're describing, as well as tingling, sometimes heat, sometimes nothing. Sometimes like, wow, it just really felt like the motions. Okay, that's fine. Then when we talk about the framework of Reiki, as a Reiki teacher, a Reiki master will provide what are called attunements into that flow, so that individual is able to channel it that much stronger. So there may be a stronger perception of it. So that's really the difference between being able to channel energy naturally, which I feel absolutely everybody on this planet, animals, plants, everything channels energy. You go up to a tree, you hug it, you feel it. You go down to the river, you feel it. You hug your child, you hug your best friend, everything. You can feel that energy. Reiki is also that energy, but magnified, amplified. So that's why as a practitioner or a teacher, we can work with students and just really help them come into experiencing it at a greater level. Does that make sense? Yeah. So another way in which to experience energy that flows through us and all around us, and also magnifying it, is being in the group. And that's where that concept of Reiki circles is really important. I don't know if there are any Reiki circles here in Sebastopol, but I would say if you're interested in Reiki and jumping back in, find one or start your own. Or maybe this is the genesis of one. They're powerful, powerful tools for transformation. Because you're not just having the one person there channeling and playing and being like, I'm not sure, I don't know. But as a group, you come together. Now you're 4, 5 pipelines tapping into that flow. So we'll do that same exercise, but this time kind of pair up with each other. So kind of face each other, just find a partner. And as you face that person, yeah, I'm just going to show you. Can you put your hands down like this? Yeah. So we're just going to do the same exercise. And again, kind of tapping into that flow, that concept of energy, releasing any need to make anything happen, holding space, breathing, bringing the hands up. Dan, I'll guide you through it, and then we'll flip, okay? So let's see what happens now as we expand our channel to work in a partnership. What happens when you do that?
One of us doesn't have a part to do, but I'll do this one right here.
One, two, three.
That's right. And if you're three,
people there.
Three workers.
They're all working.
Take your hands on your lap.
Have your chairs face each other so you're comfortable. So have one person just rest their hands, their palms facing you on their lap, just open, right? And the other person just coming over a few inches. So just take a moment, connect in with that concept or that flow or that visualization of universal energy all around us, with these pipelines, relaxing the breath. Noticing what we notice, curious mind, curious. Just take a few moments, because when you do begin working with others, you're also working in partnership. So it takes a moment, you're connecting in, not only with the flow of energy, but with their energy field. And then take a moment and bring your hands up a little further, so like a foot apart, noticing what that experience is like. Relaxing that breath and coming down again, almost touching, but not quite. Similar and different than before? How is that similar different than doing it yourself? And shake out your hands a moment. Then before you check in, just switch. The person who had their hands on the bottom had their hands on the top, vice versa. Take a moment, establish that connection. Whee! That's always fun. Breathing, relaxing. I always tell my students, don't feel you have to make anything happen. No laser light show. Don't need that. No, no. Reiki's not that complex. That's movie Reiki. Reiki's a much more practical tool, guys, really. And then see what happens if you expand the hands out a little bit higher. Isn't that fun?
You should fall, it better be this
way. I know, isn't that fun? I always get, I'm like, when I enter an energy field, I'm like, oh, I gotta ground. No, I'm having fun. And then bring the hands closer together. I'm just noticing now what that's like. And feel free then, I always like play, because everybody gets so serious in Reiki. Like, move your hands around each other, kind of on top, do like a little sandwich. What's that like? Like a stack. I don't know if you could see what I'm doing. Just kind of moving, playing. Play. Play is important in learning. It's too serious. You fall asleep. Forget it. So, what's that like? Here you go. Now we're creating a nice little chi ball. Look at that. Whoa, we're expanding that. What do we do with it? I don't know. Do you want to give it to the earth? Do you want to take it in? What do you want to do? You want to give it to the universe? You decide.
Just give it to the room.
Let's give it to the room. Ready? Chi balls. So just check in with each other. What was that like? How did you experience that? What did you notice?
I remember the calling.
Yeah, I know that. Like,
finally,
oh, yeah.
I felt it.
Yeah.
like it in the palm.
Powerful.
I wasn't going for late show.
No. I always say that. I'm just like, yeah.
Then it makes it so much easier.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't have to try. Yay!
There's nothing to do.
There is. It's like, really? It's the same as me? Cool.
I was telling Mary that you need to practice Reiki on yourself.
So how's she doing a Reiki? Absolutely.
A healing thing.
Yes, absolutely. We'll do a little bit of that, too. We'll do some. How was that for you?
That was wonderful.
Yeah, it was fun. Same feelings, different feelings?
It was harder at first to feel it, but once when we came down, I could feel more solid.
Nice. So more solid. How about for you, Becca?
Temperature change.
Temperature change. Okay. Yeah, that's cool. That's good.
Wow.
Good. Any other comments, inquiries? Yes.
Heat.
Lots of heat. Yes.
I also felt the heat up here, kind of like in my hands, and then not
here,
but here.
Yeah.
You know, like, after a while. Yeah. It was very interesting.
I felt throbbing.
Throbbing. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Definitely.
I was just saying, what's your name?
Helene.
To Helene. That it's a subtle energy, so if you're not moving subtly, then you can buy. So you have to kind of move subtly. Enter into the subtle.
That's right.
The subtle realm. And then the energy. You can feel it very really.
That's right.
But if you're moving in the lumbering realm, then you're going to bypass it. You're not going to notice that it's about perception.
That's a really good point. It's such a great point. I always feel the gift of Reiki is that it is such a still art, if you will. It's like being in that stillness, being in that subtlety. And I train a lot of different people. I train a lot of massage therapists. And they're like, oh, we want to do massage with the Reiki. I'm like, stop moving. Just stop. Just come over here and sit down. I know it may be boring. I'm sorry. But, like, this is really the way that it works and it flows. And you don't have to do so much work.
You had a very interesting experience. Maybe you want to share that as far as what you felt.
Well, just the sense of the flow of the energy coming down.
Ah.
Through my arms is very distinct and flowing into you. And I just had a sense of the circuit that was moving.
Yeah, it's really neat. And the thing about working with Reiki, something, an energy source that's greater than you, is that it's always going to go where it needs to. So even if you're just working with the hands, but your shoulders are really kind of tense after the day, Reiki flows through your meridian channels. So it's going to go. It's going to travel up into the shoulder. I've had someone do Reiki on my head, and I've had different feet problems over the years, and it goes right to my feet. It's like their hand, maybe it's not even touching my head, but my feet are feeling that energy. Yeah.
Why do you shake out your hands after?
That's a good question. So in terms of doing an exercise, when you shake out your hands after doing energy work, you're disconnecting. That's one thing. We're also just releasing
really any, I want to say, remaining connection to the individual, we're coming back to our center by doing it. It's a kind of close that we often do in Reiki practice. Another technique, and you don't have to do shaking, is smoothing out your own energy field as well and kind of moving it down. In Reiki, we call it dry bathing. Why? If you're not picking up anything, well, you're coming back into your own center. When you do energy work with an individual, you're getting into that quantum physics realm where you're both really one, right? So shaking out grounds you back into the perception of being you. When you do energy work, it's a very intimate, if you will, encounter. So the shaking kind of goes, okay, we're done. And this also, it's like maintaining that boundary. I'm done, and I'm back in what I perceive to be me.
And protects you from bringing stress.
Anything. Because although Reiki, when you're tuned with it and you're working with it, I mean, it's really just flowing through you, so you're not picking up so much. But what happens is any kind of blocks that are in an individual, emotional, mental, physical, start to dissolve. And I'm not really a visual energetic, but if I imagined it, it'd be like little dust particles in my field, like this. So we shake off, and it takes it down into the earth, and the earth takes that dust and recycles it. Or we smooth out the field as well, shake it off. Another example would be, you visualize this chakra system, right? There are seven chakras. The word chakra means wheel. And I always think of paddle fans, like there's these energetic paddle fans circulating the chi through my body. But you know paddle fans, after a while they get dust on them. So the dust particles come off in an energy exchange. Reiki is like pledge. That's what I like to say. So by shaking and by smoothing, we're kind of going, all right, okay, you know, why, if it's, because energetic debris, if you will, that's such a strong word, it kind of hangs around for a while, so we smooth it out. And just like an extended Reiki practice, like when I see clients, I usually do an hour session. After the session is over, I'm shaking my hands and I'm smoothing out my field. We check in, they leave. Then I'm clearing my room as well. Because they've had a whole hour of letting go, releasing that which isn't serving them anymore energetically. These little dust particles in the air. So you can clear a space with Reiki. It's really, it really just kind of looks like this. Oh, there goes Eileen again. She's clearing out the room. You know, it looks like she's waving her hands in the air. But it's an intentional way. That's where sage and smudging also comes in. Another way of clearing space or sound healing. All these are ways of shifting the vibration of a room. So shaking is shifting vibration. Smoothing out is shifting vibration. Does that make sense?
Thank you.
You're welcome. Other questions, comments?
It's just interesting. I teach kindergarten with young children who have not been exposed to Reiki. I have two very sensitive boys in my class who, when they get overstimulated, begin spontaneously to shake.
Yeah.
And it's one way, it's one of the signals I have that those guys need to
That's fascinating. So from a psychobiological perspective, like in trauma, right? So if they're experiencing too much chaos around them, animals in nature will do that. If they've had an encounter with, you know, being eaten, or they've had a terrifying experience, or it's overwhelming, they'll just shake. And I don't know if you have cats or dogs, or you've witnessed it. Like, if my cats just start to do it, they'll just shake and they're done. Or they'll, I have cats, and the one, if she's a little like terrified of the other, who's this big guy, I love him, he's great, but he goes after her, she'll just like scratch on the scratching post, and then she's done. She's back to normal. So it is an energetic, intuitive response inherent in us. I think more of us should do that in like the workplace, you know, when we get into an argument.
Your boss starts yelling.
You're like, hold on a second. Okay, I'm done. All right, I'm back to the job, you know. But it does. It feels really good. My dear colleague, we have our basic Reiki classes in our Reiki program. We've also added on some other ones that really balance out Reiki training. We have a Reiki and Meridians class, and she's a Shiatsu practitioner. So she really goes into meridians, Chinese medicine, five element theory, because it's helpful when you learn Reiki to also have a basis of knowledge like Chinese medicine to work from. Anyway, long story short, the shaking piece. So she's doing that. I love her as a teacher. So she'll just be lecturing, talking all these theories, and then she'll just start jumping around. She'll be like, come on, everybody, we're going to change the energy now. We're just going to jump around. And it changes the key in the room. Very, very powerful. Okay, so that's just a little bit of some experimentation. Now let's try doing some self-Reiki. And this was another big selling point for me with the system of Reiki, because I love to help people, I love to help the world, I like to do things, and I'm probably guilty like a lot of helpers. I don't take enough time for myself. And my teacher said, part of your requirement is not only to go out and do Reiki circles and practice on other people, but you have to give yourself treatments every day. Well, how long? It could be like 10 minutes, 15 minutes, half hour would be really nice. But I want you to do treatments every day and notice. I was in school at the time, and I had a job, and I'm like, how am I going to fit this in? And I ended up fitting it in at the end of the day. And so what does that Reiki treatment look like? Well, in the founding of the system, there was a teacher, Dr. Hayashi, who was a retired naval officer. He came up with a series of hand positions. So if you're the structured kind of person and you like that, it exists within Reiki. Reiki is also very intuitive. And I think you might find, maybe you do it yourself when you go to sleep at night, like you're saying. I was going to sleep at night like this long before I came to Reiki. It just feels good. Ugh, knocks me out. But when you do this and you bring Reiki intention, it really releases a lot of the stress of the day. So that was my way of finding time to do Reiki every day. So let's all just try this. Let's do some self-Reiki. I'll do a little bit of a guided meditation. I have several CDs, one that really goes through those hand positions, and the others just guide you along through your heart, through other areas. So your heart center, oh, this wonderful chakra center of giving and receiving love, and your solar plexus, we get the energy to do what we need to do in the world. We overstimulate these areas a lot during the day. So we're just going to take a moment, again, coming back to our breath, giving room and space. Not having to make anything happen. And now, again, imagining that connection to that which is greater than you, flowing down from the crown, all the way down through your face, your neck, your shoulders, your heart, down through your abdomen, down through your legs, your knees, your feet. And then it recycles there as it continues down through the earth. And the next inhalation, imagine earth energy then circulating back up. The same channel, up through the feet, through the knees, through the hips, through the abdomen, through the heart, through the neck, the face, out the crown. Just take a few moments imagining that circulating flow of heavenly chi, earthly chi, flowing out through your arms, through your hands, and recycling really as it does. When you work with Reiki for yourself, always keep in mind, this is greater than you. This isn't about you. Reiki's really a way of managing the ego. Because we, the people we are, aren't doing this. We're giving permission for that subtlety to come through and restore. So let's take a few more breaths. And giving even more room, if it was possible. Imagining we could double the size of our being. To have even more room for more energy to flow. And as it goes into this heart center and the solar plexus center, it also circulates down and around through our whole being, down to the tips of our toes. Grounding. And in this process, this really subtle process of just giving space for healing, for becoming whole, Reiki begins to restore balance and clarity and peace of mind. And I know some of you probably work with your breath as well. I often work with my breath with Reiki. And as I bring breath into those spots, it also facilitates the process of letting go, getting out of the way. Now see what happens if you bring your hands up to your heart area, just your heart. You can put your hands across or one over the other, whatever feels most comfortable. And all the great religions, all the great philosophies of the world talk about coming from a heart-centered place. We can work with that with Reiki to just begin to bring balance all over. Just tapping into that wisdom of our heart, the path of our heart. Giving thanks for what our heart does every single day. Giving thanks for the ability of our heart to connect with each other and the world. Feel compassion, to feel sorrow, to feel love. Then as we're going into this guided meditation of doing some self-Reiki, I'm going to just take it to some insight Reiki, which is another version that I've worked with, that I developed, that integrates polarities. So you can rest your hands on your lap, your hands open, again connecting in to the energy that all of you are generating here. And take another scan head to toe and just noticing now what you notice as you go down head, neck, shoulders, torso, hips, knees. Taking time to honor the moment, honor the pause. I'm going to ask you all to just bring your awareness to the right side of the body. So from the shoulder all the way down to that foot. And as you bring awareness is very much like intention. You're bringing an intentional field now to that right side. Bring your breath. Imagine you could blow up, increase in size that right side. Give it some more room so you get a better relationship with the qualities that are there. The right side of our body, right side in general, tends to be our yang, our drive in the world, our more masculine, and sometimes it can be overtaxed, whether we're female or male. So we're just going to give it some room and some space and acknowledge, does it feel full? Does it feel short? Does it feel tight? Does it just is? Just noticing that. Right, we've given full attention to the right side. Now the left side's jealous. So we're going to go over to the left side. We're going to put the right side on hold for a moment. And now breathe into that whole left side. Shoulder all the way down to the tips of your toes. And let's make this as big as the other side. So blowing that up, increasing it, enlarging it. And noticing the left side, which tends to be our yin side, our feminine, our receiving, our nurturing. And this can also be a little out of whack because we don't always take time to do this. So let's just notice what we notice here, the qualities, the sensations, the impressions. And then just shifting awareness, noticing how the left side feels in contrast to the right side. Just observing that, your witnessing mind. And then the side that feels more full, more balanced, or more engaged, imagine you can breathe that side all the way over to the opposite. Letting it expand, letting that opposite side drink from the well and take it in. And then as well, bringing that opposite side over to the more full side and letting that in the middle of your being be like a, oh, just like a mixing pot right here. As the energies are mixing and swirling and interchanging and beginning to disperse down and out through both sides. Just take a few moments of breathing. Expansion. And doing one more scan from head to toe, just noticing now, how are the differences in those sides? How does your body, your mind feel by taking time to acknowledge the polarities within our awareness and our body? And just take a few moments, coming back to the chair, coming back to your body. Bringing your hands together, kind of finishing that. Smoothing out your field from head to toe, a little dry bathing. And then to just raise the energy of the room, because that can be so relaxing. Raise it, but it's not quite like caffeine. Imagine that you pull up from your feet. Whew, energy, like this. Yep. There you go. Oh, a couple times. Oh, shake the hand. Again. Whoa. We've been Reiki-fied. You can't do too much Reiki. You can't, like, you just can't. There is no Reiki-fication or whatever you want to call it, you know? What can happen if you're in an energy bubble for a while, like we do our Reiki circle practice, and it's usually 2 hours, everybody walks out of our treatment rooms, they're like, hey, and there was no substances consumed, it was just Reiki, I'm just telling you, everybody's like, whoa, so we need to do a little grounding, so we'll do a little bit about that. But before I do, and you're still in your energy bliss bubble, how would you describe that experience? Working with polarities or just bringing attention to the heart, the solar plexus. How do you feel now? What do you notice? What would you say? How about yourself?
Very calming, especially this part, really.
Yeah.
Settled me down. It's amazing.
Yeah. Just quiet. By doing that, it can just quiet you. Yeah.
Balanced.
Balanced. Balanced.
Relaxed.
Relaxed. Relaxed.
Present.
Present.
Relaxed.
Relaxed. You're still going. I love it. Awesome. Other comments?
Relaxed.
Relaxed? Yeah? Yeah? Good. I told you. I said if I could say anything by the end of my talk, you'd probably feel relaxed. Maybe you feel a little bit more clear. Present is always good, too. So Reiki self-practice is an incredible tool. And you can integrate it in. I had another talk I did yesterday, and a gentleman was asking me about, is it like meditation? It is, but it actually, if you have a meditation practice and doing Reiki at the same time, it amplifies that meditation practice. It allows you to go into that meditative zone quicker, actually. It allows you to effortlessly. When I first started Reiki, I was learning transcendental meditation, and I was being the good student, learning my mantra, learning what to do. And I started doing Reiki, and I stopped trying. and the mantra just came and went with my breath. And I feel that's probably one of the biggest gifts to Reiki for yourself, and that it affords you a tool that you don't have to try, because it's not you. It's greater than you. Like I was saying, it's an ego management tool. And you know what ego stands for, right? EGO, edging God out, whatever you consider God to be. Get that? EGO. So when we're in our ego, there's no room for that which is greater than us. It's just me. This is my agenda. I have this. This is what I'm going to do, right? And it ends up looking like this. Oh, that was nice, Eileen. Great. But if I step aside and say, this is greater than me, it becomes more. The potential is more. And that's what we end up doing in Reiki practice, working with each other and working on ourselves and working on things like the river. Very, very powerful. And what you'll start to see, if you haven't seen already, is more and more Reiki being done in the world. So like I was saying, we work with vets, we work in the hospital, we started working in a senior facility, we're going to work with hospice patients. More and more people are interested because it's considered non-invasive touch. It's not like acupressure, it's not acupuncture, it's similar. It's not massage. It's light touch and you don't even have to touch the body. So for many people, that's a really powerful healing tool. So you'll start to see more of that, more research being done, and a lot of other practitioners, I like to say, sneaking the Reiki in, getting it in. So like in kindergarten or in traditional settings, like even in the workplace. You know, you go up to your coworker, you're like, hey, I know you're stressed. Well, I learned this thing called Reiki. I'm just going to put my hands on your shoulders. Just take a few moments and breathe. And you start to affect the whole office. I have one of my students, she works for a hospital in Seattle. But she's not a practitioner, she's an administrator. But all the practitioners, the respiratory therapists, the nurses, everybody knows she does this thing called Reiki. And on their breaks, like, they sit in the chair. She does chair Reiki for 5 minutes. And then they go back on the floor. So I'm like, all right, getting it in, you know. So I'm like, there's room for it wherever you want to take it. And it's amazing what I found on my book tour over this last almost 3 months now. I've been out in the Northwest doing the tour, different states, down in Louisiana, New Orleans, Arizona. This summer I'm going on to the East Coast, and then actually out into the Mediterranean to Greece and Rome, and sending to Egypt and the Middle East along the way from the ship, for sure, is that Reiki is practiced all around the world. When it started, you know, coming to the West, really in the 70s, and beginning to go forth, there were only 22 Reiki teachers, Western Reiki teachers. There's now something like 8 million practitioners around the world. You can find about 125 different countries listing Reiki practitioners. So it's out there. And what I also will see, and I imagine others will see, is that there'll be other professionals, like I say, integrating it into their work. So there's much more to come, guys. And if you're interested in it, I say find a good Reiki teacher. It's fun to come to a workshop and do some practice, but a Reiki teacher will help you with attunements, empowerments, enhance your own ability to channel energy. And if it's a good teacher, they'll also be available to you. So if you have questions, comments, you can touch base with them. I think that's really important in a Reiki teacher, as well as practice circles, because it gives you opportunity to do it. Mm-hmm. Any questions?
No.
Comments?
In the early days, I heard the term polarity therapy. Before I heard the name of Reiki. And so I was just wondering, what's the relationship to it?
And I also, before I came to Reiki, I had studied some polarity therapy. That's where I first began as well. Mm-hmm. Polarity therapy was developed by a gentleman who, I believe, was an osteopath. And so it has a more diagnostic bent to it. it's still working energy channels. You learn about meridians. You learn Ayurvedic techniques. You learn different points to press. So like I say, it has more of that. Like if you have this disease or this disorder, this is what you do. Reiki, I'd say, is more general. It doesn't necessarily encompass Ayurveda. The meridian piece is something I've added on. It's not, you know, originally taught. It was Reiki, and this is the way I teach Reiki 1, 2, and 3. So similar, yet a little different. Both very powerful tools. So if you're of the more mind to be more application diagnostic, want to feel like you're doing something, I think that's where people end up in polarity therapy. And Reiki's like, oh, goody, I get to just be. That's probably that group that gets attracted to Reiki. Yeah. Other questions? Comments? Reflections? Yes?
In your school, what kind of a cycle, time cycle, do your students go through?
Good question. So students who want to become practitioners, they're certified by the state or masters. Practitioners, usually that's about a 6 to 9 month period. Masters, usually 9 months to 2 years, depends. But here's the wonderful thing about Reiki. This is what I loved about it, because I went through traditional academic training and I showed up for class every day. And Reiki's not quite like that. You take a workshop in Reiki, and then you go forth for the next couple of months and practice, practice, practice. You practice on your friends, your family, your pets, your loved ones. You practice in circles. And then you take the next level. And each level increases your own energy channeling ability, actually. Gives you other tools as well. And then after that class, Reiki 2, you practice, 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 and you attend circles, and you can take supplemental classes like meridians or chakra work or crystals or whatever you're drawn to, aromatherapy, and you can add that into your budding practitioner self. And then a couple months go by, and you take the second level on a weekend, and it's the same thing. You're practicing. That's why I mean it's really important if you decide you want to do formal Reiki training to have a teacher, to have a community where you can ask questions and you can check in, because in a way it's very much a self-study. And what I always tell my students, I'm like, it is going to be a self-study, but we are going to check in and we are going to meet, and I do meet with my students one-on-one. Create for yourself a Reiki journal, a log, because as you go along, you're creating your own discovery. It's like every time you do Reiki, like when I have worked with children are like, oh, can we do Reiki on the table? Can we like do Reiki underwater? Yeah, let's do it. Let's see what happens. Now let's be scientific. What happens if we take this Reiki-fied water and we water plants with it? Let's have a control group. Let's have the non. And so you want to track it. And I feel that's probably one of the best ways of learning it. That's going to take some time. That's another thing I address in my book, just taking time and making space for the journey. Because not only do you become a practitioner, but you yourself go through a transformation. How can you not? Your vibration is increasing. And it's like we were saying, you know, in physics, this concept of entrainment, that a higher vibrating organism or entity, when it comes into proximity with something that's lesser or not quite as strong, will raise the vibration. And they've done studies on this where they've dissected heart cells from pigs. I'm not really big on that whole process, but this is what they did. And the live heart cells. And the heart cells that were dissected, say, 4 hours ago, were put in proximity with freshly dissected cells. And as the fast-beating heart cells came into proximity, it matched the vibration of the older ones. That's entrainment. The same is true of pendulums in a clock shop. They all start beating at the same time. So think about it then in terms of vibration with Reiki. As you increase your own vibration and your own awareness, you're increasing that all around you. We're talking about that. Just your presence alone is the gift.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you discuss the fact that as you progress into a higher level of Reiki, you're given the tools to do long distance?
Yes.
Treatments and healing?
Absolutely. In fact, I feel, and I discuss it in Reiki 1 as well, I feel intention is very powerful. And we all know the power of prayer. And so we can start doing that in Reiki 1. But in Reiki 2, you do receive their Reiki symbols. The founder of Reiki had his own awakening and experience to universal energy. And in that, he saw symbolic representation of how energy works. In modern words, I like to say he discovered the computer code for Reiki, how it works. So in Reiki 2, we work with those. And you can take those symbols and you can take an intention and you're basically dialing up the Reiki network and sending that energy out across distances, across time, across dimension. You can connect in with individuals who have passed on. You can connect in with individuals who are here in this present moment. It's a very powerful tool. So each level of Reiki is stretching you, raising your vibration, teaching you more tools. Yeah.
In my study, I look at our relationship with words, and I wonder if you've watched your own relationship with words shift and change as you've moved
further into the Reiki path.
Definitely.
Not only the words that I articulate, but the words that I also think of day to day, like in terms of my thought patterns. You know, instead of from a psychological point, you know, instead of like self-defeating behavior, this type of thing, more positive out to the world and myself.
Yeah. Well, I speak of shifting from brain-centered language to body-centered language, and it's clearly you think you have a very body-centered. It's your whole body talking.
It's my whole body talking.
Talking, yes.
Yeah, it is. It's not. There are 3,000 books on Amazon.com on Reiki, too many. There's way too much cerebral knowledge on Reiki right now. So that's why I'm the big proponent. Go find yourself a Reiki circle. Go find yourself a Reiki teacher. Start doing it. Don't just read about it. It's like armchair travel. Go out and travel. Don't just read about those cool places. Go and see it. So Reiki's like that. Yeah, body-centered. Thank you. Other thoughts, comments?
Speaking of reading, tell us about your book and what we would learn if we got it.
Yes. So because there are 3,000 books on Amazon.com, I did not want to write another Reiki manual book. There's probably half of those books are Reiki manuals. Here are the hand positions. Here is the history. This is how you do it. And not that that's not a bad thing. That's a really good place to start. But this is a book to say, all right, now you've discovered Reiki, or maybe you've been doing it a long time. What else can I do with it, and what are other tools I need to keep in mind about it? For instance, as you progress on that spiritual path, it's important to use your discernment capacity, because do you make this decision? Do you not? How do you make decisions? Do you trust your judgment? To bring in that spirit of play, curiosity. So it's really like, how can you best be that Reiki practitioner. So that's one part of it. The other is using that technique where we're working with polarities. I also go into more chakra-centered areas and in also ways of resolving inner conflict through the whole insight Reiki practice. So that's in there. So my technique that I do, that I teach, and I am actually going to be teaching it at the East West store on the 13th of February. So I'll be back here for that. And I'll actually teach it, but it's in the book, so that's there. As well as, if you decide to take the leap and you're like, wow, I really love this Reiki stuff, you know, I think I want to do more of it in the world and I want to create my own career around it, how to create or cultivate a very creative career. And I use career widely. It doesn't necessarily you're doing it for your living, your financial living, but really from your vocational center. Before I got into mental health counseling, I did a lot of career counseling, and I did what I called anti-career counseling. So it wasn't about, let's put you in the box. Let's say, oh, you're an extrovert. Okay, you should be a public speaker. No, it's like, okay, let's see the whole of you. What are your gifts to the world? And maybe it looks like a wonderful calico quilt. So that's in there. As well as
stories from working with veterans, working with the environment, working with Reiki circles. So empowering the Reiki practitioner beyond the Reiki manual. That's what I would say the nutshell of my book is. Thank you. Thoughts? Comments? No? Let's do some grounding. Let's do grounding in the way where we're going to go off with a shebang. So let's have everybody stand up. And we'll just take a moment, shake out our bodies, our minds. Shake it out, shake it, shake it, shake it. Now feeling your feet firmly on the ground, feeling your body, mind, and space. Taking a nice inhalation, imagine you're inhaling up earth energy. You're a tree all the way up through the crown of your head. Maybe you want to raise your hands so your like limbs are going out into the universe. And keep inhaling up earth energy. Whatever that feels like, looks like, seems like. Maybe there's a favorite tree you like. Pulling that all the way up. Yeah. And you can take your hands and put them over the crown of your head and just kind of beam some of that earth energy back the other way so it's being in that loop. Up, up, up. And then welcoming in universal cosmic energy all around us, kind of filling in the nooks and crannies all over. Settling in, sprinkling in, like a nice little energy shower. Yeah, that feels good. I can sense that in the group. Good job. So take your hands, bring them back into center, prayer position, namaste.
Namaste.
And thank you for tonight. It's been fun. So I have my scrapbook here of different things we've been doing in Seattle. Feel free if you want to take a gander. Here's a little brochure on what is Reiki and my cards. And the books and CDs and things are over there as well.
Books and CDs on both these things. And thank you all for coming tonight. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
That was
thank
wonderful.
You.
And we also have a donation bowl over on the counter, and we encourage people to contribute to that, which we share with our speakers to further their work and to support this space. So thank you all for coming tonight.
Thank you. Thank you. Thanks, Dan.
My photographer. I know a school thing. You can't really get out of it.
The space was really tough.
Yeah. Hi, Mimi. Nice to see you.
Nice to
see
you.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Good. How about you?
Space is very every week, and people will walk in and go,
Sam, he's okay, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
You're still